I was down in Hawkeye's trading post, as drunk as I could be, when this diamond-studded gentleman started pouring drinks for me. He made a proposition I should have answered no, to sail aboard the Jezebel up the muddy, muddy Mo. Now I was just a tadpole when I signed on with her crew, a leaky, creaky steamer for the Rockies from St. Louis. Next morning we pulled anchor, my head was pounding so, all for to be embarked up the muddy, muddy Mo.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. That was just a small taste of the final track on Tom Peterson's CD, Black Hills Gold. That song called The Muddy, Muddy Mo. The CD blends country with Americana, with bluesy folk. Center stage is the resonant vocals and the resplendent songwriting. Tom Peterson's musical roots in South Dakota run deep. He's been honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award in the South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now it is my honor to have him here in the studio with us in Vermilion. Tom Peterson, welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you, Laurie. Nice to be here.
I can't even express to you how much I love that song.
Oh, thank you.
And I played it first because there's a great mixture of music on the CD, and we'll hear some different selections here in a moment. But when you get to the end of the CD and that one starts to play, it's 7 minutes long. It's what do you call that?
I should have put an intermission in.
No, you shouldn't.
I got carried away on that one, I guess.
It's a driveway moment all in of itself. And tell me, what genre is that? So what do you call that?
Well, that's what they used to call a ballad.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
That word is used in a lot of different ways. But in traditional folk music, that specific song, I modeled after a traditional song called the Buffalo Skinners. On the range of the buffalo is kind of, and so when I set out to write a song about the Missouri River, I thought it deserved a considerable song. I got a little carried away, and I did quite a bit of research on that song before I wrote it, but most of it's poetic license. Some things are historical, but
it's a it's a sea shanty in a way. It's
yes.
A river sea shanty. Right?
Yeah.
There just aren't many songs done like
this.
Well,
I've tried different ways to perform it over the years.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would sing it a cappella, or I tried it with a guitar. The original demo I made had a guitar. Charlie Smith, hi Charlie, if you're listening. Sioux Falls mandolin fiddle player. Charlie tried different things with me, and we never could quite get it. And then Chris said, "Well, let me try this accordion on it."
Right.
And seems to work pretty well. It has its fans, let's put it that way.
Count me among them.
Well, thank you.
So much of this album, when you listen to it start to finish, there is this thread of Dakota. There is this thread of place, a strong sense of place, of who we are, who you are. Why is that important to you?
Well,
to
I appreciate
that?
You saying that. When I was a young musician trying to get in my groove and find what you do, I realized at some point I'm not going to be a great singer like Susan Osborne or Brad Korbel or even a great instrumentalist like Mike Miller or Kenny Putnam. But I thought, we don't have too many songs from around these parts. So I thought maybe I'll try and concentrate on that. And, it's kind of natural that I've always been... I was born in Sioux Falls, and I've lived here in Vermilion for 4 years. So, it's always been a part of me from around here, and I'm proud of it. And so I'm happy that it comes through, and a lot of my songs, begin here with a story here or somebody saying something, or occasionally I'll try and shoehorn something in there. Yeah. I prefer things to come a little bit easier than that, but they don't always work that way.
That's a legacy for other songwriters that are born here or grow up here or move here, that sense of place. What, there's a mentorship, there's a catalog there for them of your songs to listen to and say, this is worth the story, this is worth exploring.
The people of this part of the country should be celebrated, and we have a lot of great music in the Plains area. I think of ethnic music, for instance. There's good Irish music and Scandinavian. Go to Czech Days sometime, or just check out the polka culture, which is more like a cult, I guess. And then, of course, Native American music.
Right.
But there's also great jazz and rock and roll, and the Sioux Falls Symphony has become absolutely fantastic. And I don't mean to slight, there's a border between us and Iowa. I don't mean to slight the people of, like, Sioux City. There's some fantastic music down there, too.
Right. Those borders don't necessarily...
Yeah, those are for other reasons, not for music, really.
Incredibly, this is your first CD. Your first full-length CD of your own music that you... Right?
I'm a late bloomer, I guess. No, I have had a few opportunities when I was younger, and I just never could make it to the finish line with anything that sounded like I wanted to keep it. And I owe a big debt of thanks to a young guy in Sioux Falls, I think. I'm not sure if he's living in Brookings or Sioux Falls. Tony Notches, mm-hmm. who supported this album. And in fact, if it wasn't for Tony, this never would have gotten made. Because we went through some ups and downs getting to actually making it. And the only thing Tony asked that I do is include the Muddy Muddy Mo on there.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tony.
Tell me how the process of the studio work and where you went to have that done.
Okay, I'm an old friend of Chris Gage's from the Red Willow Band days. And Chris lives in Austin, where he has he and his wife Christine Albert, Albert and Gage, have Moonhouse Records there, and it's a small independent label, but they do some really good work of not just their own music, but some other people. Chris is always working on some kind of project, and we decided that the best thing for me would be to go down there and record with him and use some of the people that they used on the record, the album they made of my music called Dakota Lullaby. It's many of the same musicians. Boyd Bristow from Sioux Falls went with me to kind of hold my hand, and had some great things to contribute to it. And I had a wonderful time. The people in Austin have been fabulous to me the few times I've been down there. And we played some clubs and some things like that when I'm there, and we eat a lot. I think they have a city ordinance where you have to have a Mexican restaurant on every block there. And I'd love to try every single one of them. I'm not the hearty eater that those guys are, but so it was a great experience. And Aaron Packard from Vermilion did some photographs for the album. Also a excellent person to work with. And well, I'm just very proud of it and very happy about it.
Where's the cover photo taken? It's a striking photo.
That's out there at Clay County Park.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I should mention at some point, I'm not too sure where all you can get it around here right now. The old CD stores are, no longer. Most people get their music off the web.
Sure.
And it is available on iTunes and Spotify and some of those. I usually send people to CD Baby or the Moonhouse Records website, which has a lot of great stuff Chris has worked on, including some of the old Red Willow albums and a lot of Albert and Gage's stuff. And that's where I'd tell them to go, to CD Baby or Moonhouse Records, which I think maybe sends them to CD Baby sometimes.
Yeah. We're going to play one of the songs from Black Hills Gold. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Tom Peterson. This one's called Magic Bird. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Magic Bird?
Strangely enough, the people playing on this song, a few of them were on the original demo I made about 1973 or 4. I was really only about 3 or 4 years old. So Chris Gage and Kenny Putnam is on the fiddle. My good friend Charlie Smith is on the mandolin on this. And Boyd is on there somewhere. I think he's singing on this one. He actually recorded that session. I was playing guitar on it, but Boyd is much better guitar player. So it was a pretty big tune for the Red Willow Band. They still include it when they have their reunion shows.
Right.
And as I like to say, it made me dozens of dollars.
Let's take a listen.
We're gonna fly on the wings of a magic bird. We're gonna sing the sweetest song we've ever heard. When this troubled life is over, there's one thing I know for sure, that we'll fly on the wings of a magic bird. You and I got a place on that old magic bird. When it leaves on that great judgment morn, fly to the land behind a river where your soul can be reborn, down to the calm in the eye of a storm. We're gonna fly on the wings of a magic bird. We're gonna sing the sweetest song you ever heard. When this troubled life is over, there's one thing I know for sure, that we'll fly on the wings of a magic bird. Tell me why you've been feeling so lonely, my friend. Don't you know that old bird's leaving soon? To the land behind the rainbow, on the other side of the moon. We'll all join together on that old gospel tune. We're gonna fly on the wings of a magic bird. We're gonna sing the sweetest song you ever heard. When this troubled life is over, there's one thing I know for sure, that we'll fly on the wings of a magic bird. We're gonna fly on the wings of a magic bird. We're gonna sing the sweetest song you ever heard. When this troubled life is over, there's one thing I know for sure, that we'll fly on the wings of a magic bird.
You're listening to In the Moment, music from Tom Peterson's CD Black Hills Gold. Tom is in the studio with us right now, and I want to talk about songwriting and your process and how, I mean, you started writing songs at a really young age, right? Take us back.
You know, I think where I first, when I was a little boy, my first hero, musical hero, like a lot of people at the time, was Elvis Presley. Mm. My dad had gotten me a little record player and my cousins, we lived in Taiwan. My cousins went down to Lewis Drug in Sioux Falls and sent me some of the latest kids stuff, Burl Ives and Roy Rogers and stuff, and Elvis records. Well, I didn't know my ABCs yet, but I knew that the big E, that was Elvis's name, right? And one day on the 45s around the center of the disc, the title is always printed, and underneath are these little parentheses with this smaller writing. And I asked my dad what that was, and he told me that was the songwriter's name. Names like Pomus and Carl Perkins and Otis Blackwell. And I thought, wow, how cool is that to have your name on an Elvis Presley record? Wow, could there be anything cooler? Yeah. And I've always felt that way. I'm still thrilled when somebody calls me a songwriter. You can call me a good one or a bad one or a terrible one or the worst one you've ever heard. As long as that word's in there, I still get a little thrill from being that. I appreciate the talent. I read an interesting phrase about it just yesterday, actually, writing about a couple songwriters, and they said the lyrics understand the music. And then they compared it to a marriage. Now, I don't know about that, but the lyrics and the music. For me, I'm a very undisciplined writer, so I can't say one comes before the other. It happens all different kinds of ways, and I get ideas from all different kinds of places. Mm. Sometimes they come easy. Sometimes, like all writers, I go through writer's block and try and jar it loose somehow.
You carry a notebook?
I don't know. I have at various points in my life, and I probably should. I do know people that try different things, and that's a good idea. I kind of let them rattle around in my head until I get to a certain point, and then I write them down. And really the reason I usually write them down is so I remember them to sing them. Something about the visual lyrics helps me sing better than just hearing them.
Sure.
Sometimes. I got to have both to really... Depends how complicated or long the song is, right? Yeah.
There is a song on this CD called As Is, and it's a song about a car until it's not about a car anymore. And as I was listening to this, you know, I want to use the word inevitable, but it's a surprise. Like, you know, it surprises you, but then it feels like, of course, that's exactly what the next line would have to be. And I'm listening to it, and I'm enjoying the car moment and the as is, and then all of a sudden I realize that there's more to it than that.
It's about me.
Yeah.
I actually think of that as my theme song.
Yeah.
The line in the last verse, you know, not what might have been, but as is. And, you know, I think everybody feels that way. Love me for who I am,
and
not what I could have been. When I started out with this idea to write that song, it was inspired a little bit by the Antiques Roadshow and, you know, the patina. Don't touch the patina. And, you know, I think the title of the song was Warts and All or something like that. And it sort of evolved into this car idea over time.
Yeah.
So.
Have you learned to trust the process of, it seems like when, you know, there's a moment where you cling to that notebook or you say, the idea is going to come and then I'm going to lose it. How have you learned to sort of trust?
You know, there's different ideas about that from different songwriters. You want to trust the process to lead you to something. I remember reading about Stephen Sondheim, who of course writes, you know, fabulous tunes. I don't claim to be in his league or even of his style, but I read one of my favorite songs by him. He had rewritten it as he went. He kept just rewriting it, and he'd change it briefly each line. Broadway Baby is the name of the song. It's not a real complex song, especially for him. But I tried that on a few songs, and it did work. I'm not sure I trusted as much as he does to let go of everything just to follow where you're going. And so some people, I think that works for better than others.
Right.
You don't try to shoehorn it all in. And like I said, writer's block can be a problem. And I try not to panic when I get that. Just to, you know, say, hey, you've been through this before. Take the day off, you know, go down the river, go down and have a beer at Carrie's or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it usually works its way out.
What's next for you?
Not a whole lot on the horizon. I hope to keep writing songs. I can't say that I have a new basket full of them. I think I'll let this one run for a while. It's only been out for a few months, and see how we do. And hopefully down the line make some more music. And I do appreciate the fans and the people around here have been really supportive to me over the years.
Right. And you have friends.
I'm very fortunate that I do.
Well, thank you so much for this music. It feels like a gift, and thank you so much for your time. Another gift.
Well, you know, if I wasn't here, Laurie, I'm a fan. I'd probably be listening to you anyway. So thanks for having me.
Thanks. We're going to leave you this segment with a little bit of the title track. Here's Black Hills Gold. Stay in the moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio.
The news shot through Denver, Chicago and St. Louis, up and down the East Coast, through the heart of Dixie too. And the story got bigger every time it got told, how the creeks and rivers run yellow with Black Hills gold. They poured in by the hundreds to muddy Deadwood Town. Some panned the streams, others dug for it in the ground. But 'twas a few got lucky, most only got old, and their hair grew silver looking for Black Hills gold.